Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Wizard 0-1, they fall last night in Milwaukee to the Bucks. Bijan Todd joins us to discuss the ball game, Monumental Sports. Bijan, why don't we begin with, I guess, broad brush. What'd you think of their effort? What'd you think of the game?
Honestly, guys, I thought they got off to a slow start. I think that was evident pretty early on in the game that they were kind of letting the Bucks have whatever they wanted on offense. They kind of got into a little bit of a rhythm, though, in the second half, and I think the headline of the game was Trey Johnson, right? Starting off his first game in the NBA, 16 points, hit 4 of 8 threes, and I think he showed why he's one of the best offensive prospects this team has had in a while. So him and Keyshawn George, I think, are good signs for the future. But overall, yeah, got a lot of stuff they got to clean up on both ends for sure.
I felt bad for Alex Saar. What happened to him last night is going to happen to a lot of people when Giannis is in that groove, dunking on everybody and playing bully ball and going downhill and, you know, takes one step from the three-point line to lay it in or dunk it on somebody. But I actually thought I saw some signs, the evolution of his game. Again, the numbers weren't incredible, the double-doubles there. But I liked some of the footwork down low. I was impressed.
Absolutely. The thing that Alex Saar needs to work on and that he said he's worked on over the offseason is just bodying his way into the paint more often and scoring like a 7-footer. And that's something that his coaches and his teammates all want him to do. And you're right. He was doing that a lot last night. And, you know, his defense against Giannis, like you said, there's only so much you can do. I think Will Dawkins said at preseason, like, he was the best switch defender in the NBA last year, Saar was, and that's good, but his on-ball defense does need a little bit of work, but there's nothing you can do against Giannis. But offensively, yeah, to your point, Danny, it was interesting to see him use his body to get into the paint more. He still has a three-point ball. He didn't take one last night, and I think that's a good thing. I want to see him get into the paint a little bit more often, so if he keeps doing that, he'll be in good shape.
I want to go back to Trey Johnson, who you referenced, shooting the ball well, 4 of 8 from 3, 16-point performance. He is special offensively. He's going to score 30 in a game this year. There's no doubt in my mind. What are the areas to monitor with him early on here in terms of, you know, where he's got to grow, where he's got to get better?
Absolutely. So his three-point shooting is something that's already set in stone. We know he can shoot the three ball. He did it incredibly well at Texas. This year, I think what I'm going to be focusing on for him is how can he penetrate the paint? Because, again, similar to Alex Saar, like, obviously Trey Johnson's not 7 feet tall. He plays a totally different position. But if you can get a guy who can get past his first defender, get into the paint, and then kick it out to a Corey Kispert or a Bub Carrington or a Keyshawn George for an open three, that'll be huge for him. And also interior scoring for Trey Johnson as well. And something that I think I watched a lot in Las Vegas in the summer league that was really impressive to me was just his defensive tenacity. And that's something that didn't really jump off the page for Trey Johnson when he was at Texas last year, but it's something that he's been working on and something that the coaches are kind of trying to drill into him this season. So if he can be a good point of attack defender in the NBA and guard a couple of guards and forwards on the other team that are maybe a little bit bigger than him, that's something that I'm going to keep my eye on for sure. So just interior scoring and defense.
So something I'm kind of curious about. It looked like Keyshawn George was the second unit ball handler kind of as part of that rotation. And you can clearly see in Milwaukee said, we are going to pressure that guy all over the court. And I thought in general he held up well, but it was efforting, if that makes any sense, to kind of help them get into the offense. And, you know, he wasn't like punting it off himself or whatever. But, you know, it didn't look like pure point guard type stuff. Is that something that we expect to continue? What did you make of that? Because overall, the numbers look good. I thought he had a really good game. But you could clearly see that as soon as he was the ball handler, Milwaukee was all over him.
Yeah, and he's not a pure point guard. Like, he played guard at Miami, and he played a little bit of guard forward last year. He's not, like, a pure point guard in the sense that he's not like Chris Paul, right? Like, he's not going to be orchestrating the offense that efficiently at the guard position. But this is a team, again, that Brian Kiefer said they want multiple guys to bring the ball up. They want multiple guys to pass and kind of orchestrate the offense at the point. And I think Keyshawn George doing that for the first or the second unit is a really good thing, because he looks, in my opinion, more comfortable out there than Sarr and Bub Carrington do out of their second year guys. He looks like he has the confidence to get into the lane and kind of use his muscles and his body to create separation. And so if he can be a guy who can really orchestrate the offense, either in the first unit or coming off the bench, I think that's going to be a huge thing for his development, because who knows, you know, in a couple of years, he might be one of the guys who this team taps to be their lead guard, depending on where they go with different roster moves from here on out. But that was something to monitor for sure. That was a good point.
Bijan, thank you, buddy. Good catching up.
Thanks, guys. Have a good one. Appreciate
it. You got it.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.